Hey guys, it's Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. So they say you can't plan for the unexpected, but whoever said that obviously didn't know about Aflac. You probably know the Aflac Duck, but you might not know what Aflac can do for you. For example, did you know they pay cash that can help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover? If you get sick or injured, Aflac pays cash that can be put towards copays and deductibles to even non-medical expenses like rent or your mortgage payments. It's completely up to you. Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover. Visit Aflac.com to learn more.
And we passed a clean, nonpartisan CR to keep the government open for the people. Now look on the other side of that figurative split screen as demonstrated here. The lights are out. It's all dark. Why? Because what the Democrats have accomplished in 9.5 months is a government shutdown. A couple other things sort of related to that. You know, they have made a lot of TikTok videos. We give them credit for that. They've also assaulted law enforcement officers. One of them's on trial for that. They've openly embraced and rallied with communists and socialists, most recently across the country on Saturday. They voted to raise taxes on millions of hardworking Americans at the worst possible time. They have voted against reducing fraud, waste, and abuse in government. And they have now voted, collectively, Democrats in Congress have voted 12 times to keep the government closed down. But it doesn't stop there. The Democrat shutdown is a glaring example of just how far the Democratic Party has strayed from common sense. Remember the simple truth here. It was over a month ago now that we passed, the Republicans passed, the clean, short-term, continuing resolution. It's nonpartisan. No gimmicks, no tricks, no riders, no partisan Republican policy priorities added to that. It's 24 pages in length, as we've discussed so many times, and it is very, very simple. Why? Because it was a very simple good faith effort on our part to preserve our ability to keep negotiating on the full year funding bills. And of course, the other big issues facing the American people.
How many times was it? 12?
12
times.
30 dozen.
Government still shut down. Yay. You know, I was thinking about this. Why? I kind of wish that Republicans were pulling an Obama. Like, look at Democrats don't want to pay these soldiers and they don't want to pay this and they don't want to pay that. I kind of wish that they would. Think about it. This was back in, because we had like two big shutdowns back in the, it was between 2012 and like, 2014, something like that, 2011 to 2014. And they brought out the barriers. They were putting those barriers on the sides of the road going through national parks. So, you know, you're driving down the road and you have like a scenic area that you can pull over in and kind of, you know, enjoy the vista. And they literally put those barriers up saying, oh no, the park's closed. The trees are closed because the government shut down. Nature's closed. I mean, it was ridiculous, but at the same time, you know, they were in a narrative war. And I kind of want Republicans to do the same thing here. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this first hour on Wednesday. We're halfway through the week, kids. And oh boy, we got a whole buffet of buffoonery to dive into. The least of which is the 12th failed vote for the government shutdown. The least of which. So you can watch us do the radio show, Channel 347 DirecTV. You can also join the chat over at Rumble. And then, of course, don't forget, we've got YouTube and Facebook and X and all that stuff. All right, so that's your government shutdown still in effect. So we have that going still. Can we, for one moment, talk about the absolute national emergency of the White House ballroom? Kill her. It's so bad, guys. The left is apoplectic. They're apoplectic because POTUS is building a ballroom and it's on like a little, the best way I can put it is like a little car park on the east wing. So you have the west wing and then you have the east wing. The original White House, which is the historic building, is untouched. And the wings are actually, they're relatively new. I mean, you had Roosevelt, FDR. I mean, Barack Obama put in a basketball court, for crying out loud. Who was it? One of them put in a pool. Somebody put in a pool there. But it's crazy the amount of weeping and gnashing of teeth that is taking place as a result of this. It is, I mean, this is, I think it was JFK. Did JFK put the pool in there?
Yeah, I think so.
So you had the West Wing, and I saw this tweet from Maria Shriver.
FDR, I think.
Well, Teddy Roosevelt did the West Wing. I know that. So it says Taft did the exact, he did the Oval. FDR was the one who did the East Wing. He added an indoor pool, but I thought JFK did like upgrades to the pool or something. And then they gutted the White House at one point, and they even were redoing some of the structural things. So one of them added a bowling alley. Obama added a basketball court. And I'm just trying to figure out why people, this is just the little car park part. So on the East Wing specifically, you have this little, I mean, for the lack of a better way to put it, I'm calling it a car park. And it's just a little strip that's on the East Wing. I'm looking actually at an aerial photo of it. So you have the White House, you have the West Wing. Say it's on your left, West Wing's on your left. East Wing, and then the demolition, the strip that's on the outside of that East Wing, that's where they're putting the ballroom. So if you actually look, you can see it's highlighted in yellow there. If you're watching the simulcast, the demolition was just on that yellow strip. That's where they're putting the ballroom. That's where it goes. And that's evident when you see the construction photos where the, I mean, it's right there by the gate. That's the only work that they're doing. And Trump, by the way, is doing it himself and through private donations. There's not a single cent of taxpayer dollars that are being used on this. And so that's all it is. Oh my gosh. They are acting like he is setting fire to the church that's in the park in front of the white. Oh wait, that's what Antifa did. Ooh. Mm. They are, I mean, they're freaking out over it. You even had Hillary Clinton, who was so upset over this, guys. Hillary Clinton. You know, she was one of the, she's a former first lady. She feels very strongly about this. Don't put that one up yet. Don't give it away. Golly, guys. People. She tweeted, "It's not his house. Space, space. It's your house. Space, space. And he's destroying it." Okay. So the picture is, again, that little strip that we showed you, the aerial photo. Close but no cigar. If we want to talk about the sanctity, and isn't that how, who was it that said, like, they were acting like it was a sanctified place? Maria Shriver was saying she was upset over it, and she was going on and on and on about it, saying that it was just so bad. Oh, it's so, I mean, what he's doing, just breaking history. She was very upset. She said, "It breaks my heart. Oh, hundreds of millions for a new ballroom. Oh my gosh." They're all upset. Hillary Clinton was very upset. She was just raging all over the last several days over this. The sanctity of the White House, the left says. I remember a time when I was in high school and Bill Clinton, going into college, Bill Clinton was he's going to go for another term. Do you remember all of that stuff with that Monica Lewinsky? I mean, if we want to talk about the sanctity of the White House, Bill Clinton received oral romantical times literally under the Resolute desk while he took phone calls from world leaders. If you want to have a discussion as to what is going to rock the sanctity of the White House, they're all upset over this. But Bill Clinton turned the executive office into a brothel. Bill Clinton was grabbing ladies and getting serviced right there in the Oval Office. I mean, it was the thing that he had to admit when they were, remember the big old court case? It all started with Whitewater, and then went into Paula Jones, and then it went into Jennifer Flowers and everything else. All of it came out. Bill Clinton was on the phone with world leaders being serviced by Monica Lewinsky, who was on her knees under the Resolute desk. So let's spare everybody the talk about the sanctity of the White House, particularly when it comes to Democrats, who also turned the Senate chamber into their own porn set. Remember their gay porn set? They did that. It's a new addition to the White House. It's not even considered the historic part of the White House. It is, he's paying for it himself, along with private donations. And it's just the little car park strip. Literally, they park vehicles under it. It was just that, it's just that little strip on the side of the East Wing. Now, in that context, does that not look absolutely ridiculous to you? No pun intended. Does it not look insane? See, I'm saying. This is, it's crazy. The weeping and gnashing of teeth over this. They haven't done a single bit. It's not like he's the Bidens and he's enriching himself by merchandising out his executive office or any of his other, making money for his family like that. That's what the Bidens were doing. By the way, there's a criminal investigation into that ongoing. Huh. I mean, I don't know. Audio soundbite two, cut two. This is what POTUS was saying about the pool. Because there is a pool in there, swimming pool. Listen.
And we've had press conferences. We finished it about a month ago. This is, as you see over here, the Presidential Walk of Fame. And we had this long wall with half windows because that used to be a swimming pool on the other side of the wall. That was the swimming pool where Jackie would say, "I hear women inside." Are women inside? Quite a famous, I'm not saying anything. This was a part of a movie. And the Secret Service said, "No, ma'am, there's no women inside, ma'am. I'm sorry, ma'am, you're going to have to move along." "But I hear women inside." "No, ma'am, you'll have to move along, ma'am." So that was the famous swimming pool. Now it's even worse. It's for the media. They covered the pool up. They covered the pull up and now it's for the media. And I think we have a small representative group. I don't think they allowed the rest of them. I can't believe it. What happened? They're all on the other side of the wall. Can you believe it?
So, I mean, it just doesn't, it's all performative. It's also performative for these people that are so upset over it. Stop it. He's not doing anything to the actual White House itself. It's not even considered a part of the original historical structure because it was actually done relatively recent. And also, can I be real? For the longest time, I did not know that we didn't have a ballroom. And it kind of makes sense considering all of the events that are held, all of the things that are done. I just think it's better, especially for a security standpoint, to have everything like in-house and have everything locked down. Don't you guys agree? I think that it works better that way. Now, that's just one of the things we have to discuss. We have to just, oh boy, what else are we going to get into, guys? Because we've got John Fetterman enraging his own party. And then we also have a Maine candidate that Bernie Byrne has gone all in for. Democratic Maine Senate candidate. He apparently was drunk and got a Nazi tattoo at one point. But then people have been coming out saying that he knew it was a Nazi tattoo and didn't really think anything of it. And now he says he's going to have to get it removed. This is an insane story because the guy's mom is now involved. Graham Platner, he's running for U.S. Senate in Maine. He said he was, quote, very inebriated when he got this Nazi tattoo while he was on leave in Croatia. He was in the Marines. He's a veteran. And he insists that he's not a secret Nazi. He's a Democrat, so I question it. We're going to get into all of that, plus some of the other stuff on deck for you. We got the library. We've got some foreign policy. We've got Democrats trying to weaponize Islamophobia to defend Mandani. This is all the latest, so you don't want to miss it. America's tap water is a cocktail of heavy metals and toxins, the result of corroded pipes that we should have replaced decades ago. Let me just ask anybody in Flint, Michigan. You got lead, heavy metals, rust, basically liquid poison right out the tap. So when I tried Cove Pure on my counter, it was so easy. No plumber, no drilling. You just plug it in and pick your water temperature on the touch screen. And honestly, it actually tastes like water, not like death. So that's why I use the Cove Pure water purifier to keep my family safe. Unlike the government, Cove Pure actually does its job. Lead in your water doesn't stop at a gross taste. It can actually cause a host of serious medical issues. But yeah, sure, go ahead. Trust the city with your kid's health. I mean, you know, what could go wrong? Copier's ClearWave technology removes up to 99.9% of contaminants. So don't wait for the government to help. Take back control of your family's health and finally drink water the way that it was meant to be. Visit CovePure.com/Dana for $200 off. That's CovePure.com/Dana.
If you want to be wealthy, you have to have a wealthy mindset. How? Walk away from easy money. Ignore most of the headlines because 95% of them are garbage. Always continue to reinvest.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a vehicle apparently rammed into the White House Secret Service gate. This was on Tuesday night. Last night, somebody decided it was a good idea to run into the barricade near one of the vehicle entrances to the White House. Secret Service acted quickly. They apprehended it was the individuals at 10:30 p.m. when it happened. They were immediately arrested and assessed. And we don't know if it's like, you know, nobody knows if it's leftover from No Kings or what. They haven't released that information, but just, or maybe they were drunk. I don't know. But FYI, NASA confirms that Earth has two moons, although it's pretty far away, they said. Too far away to get super excited. I mean, they kind of has two moons. A small asteroid named 2025 PN7 is what they're calling a quasi moon. If it's quasi, guess what? It's not a moon. Just saying, not a moon if it's quasi. But they said that it was discovered by scientists at the University of Hawaii. They estimate that it's about 18 to 36 meters wide. It's probably been tagging along Earth around 60 years. And if its current orbit holds, it will stay with us until 2083 before drifting away into space again. It's never come any closer than 4 million kilometers, they said, away from the planet, 10 times further away than the moon. No impact on tides, gravity, and it will not outshine the actual moon. So it's a space rock. Why are we calling it even a quasi-moon? That's like really, you know, a way to just get us all excited and then just totally just shoot our dreams, right? Like a pellet gun to a balloon. OpenAI launches ChatGPT-powered web browser to automate your life and compete with Google. Yay. Warner Brothers Discovery's for sale. And multiple parties are circling for purchase, according to Hollywood Reporter. We got a lot more on the way, including the weaponization of Islamophobia to defend Islamists. Stick with us. Burn a gun for when you're disarmed from caring everywhere else and you don't want to get raped to death. So it's true. You don't want to get stabbed. You don't want to get raped to death. You don't want to have nothing bad happen to you. I will always, I carry and I have no problems using lethal force to eliminate threats to myself or loved ones, and I train for it too. I realize also that sometimes you're disarmed through no fault of your own. Municipal restrictions, private property restrictions. Maybe you're like a college student. You're 20 years old. You live on your own. You can go overseas and carry full auto, you know, but you can't carry over here to protect yourself. So this is where Byrna gun comes in. You can carry a stun gun if you want. That has maybe one or two rounds. Byrna's compact launcher, which is about the size of a phone, no recoil, easy target acquisition, has 15 round shot capacity per cartridge. And here's the thing, and this is what you're really looking at. It doesn't care about gun-free zones, and there are no background checks, there's no fees, and you can order it and have it sent right to your door. Visit Byrna.com/Dana and get your hands on the Byrna, CLBYRNA.com/Dana, ready when you are.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
Israeli hostages are released and the war stops in Gaza, but the people who screamed about ending genocide are suddenly silent. Biden administration figures call the Middle East deal bittersweet because they think they deserve the credit. And the shutdown fight highlights what a complete disaster Obamacare is, just like we said it would be. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the 3 Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the top news, some good laughs, and we'll be done in less than 30 minutes. Follow the 3 Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that if you can play church bells, you can pray the call to prayer. We are as American as anyone else, and don't take any BS from anyone.
No, you can't. Welcome back to the program, by the way. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. No, you can't. You want to know why? Because they're not even remotely the same. That was Mehdi Hasan. What is he on? PMSNBC, blah, 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 blah.
MS Now?
I don't know. Wait, what?
Isn't it
MS?
MS
Now? It's multiple sclerosis. Okay. What is it? So it's just, what is MS and the MSNB? I don't really care, but I'm curious. Very.
Microsoft.
Okay. So nobody knows what he's on. We really don't know. He's just some dude. He was saying that, yes, you need to just be able, he's saying to American Christians, if you can have your church bells, we can have our Islamic prayer call. Well, they're not even remotely the same, first off. I mean, when church bells ring, it's bells, and it's also used not just as a way to, you know, it's usually played a couple of, you know, maybe twice a day, and then whenever they wanted to, historically, whenever there was to warn the town of an impending attack or funerals or something like that. It was sort of like the old-timey village message board in a way, the way that it was used. The Islamic call to prayer is an incredibly in-your-face, invasive demand that you drop everything and start praying to Mecca. It is a bunch of, it's a religious command. Is what it is. And I mean, church bells, there's no verbalization in a church bell. There's nothing, there's no religious command in a church bell. There's no religious doctrine in a church bell. There's no prayer in a church bell. Unlike the Islamic call, which is literally all of those things. It's delivered loudly over loudspeakers. It sounds like a tornado alert. And they say what they talk about Allah being God and Muhammad being his whatever messenger five times. I mean, and they do that like all throughout the day, like five or six times a day. And it lasts for forever. It is incredibly loud. It is a command. It is a demand that you drop everything and you engage in this practice now. So, no, they're not the same. And if Mehdi Hasan wants it, then he can move back to his country of origin because he hasn't been here long enough to be able to give orders to the rest of us. And no, I don't consider you a fellow American. And here's why. You don't have within you that animating spirit of liberty. And aside from everything else, ethnicity, religion, etc., that is the thing that makes that unites us all as Americans. And he is without it. It's that animating spirit of freedom. He lacks it. Can you imagine? I can't imagine being so full of myself and high on my own supply that I go to another country and act like I've been here a couple of years. I'm going to tell you how to do everything in your nation. This is the problem with complete unmitigated immigration. You come here and you join the American family. You be free. You don't turn us into the hellscape that you came from. You come here and you be free. You enjoy the freedoms that we have. That's it. You don't boss people around and you don't demand that we play these loud, commanding verbalizations that order people to drop everything and fall to their knees and pray. Kids can't even pray in school, but this guy wants to sit here and blast this stuff throughout towns multiple times a day. I don't think so, partner. Not going to happen. Good night. You don't get to impose, and that is an imposition, by the way. Having a verbalized command, that is an imposition. It's not a church bell. Comparing the two is asinine. And it's not a legitimate comparison. It's illiberal. Not even remotely accurate. But this is what I've been seeing. I see people on the left now. They're going to go back to the tactic that they used post 9/11, which is call everything that they don't like Islamophobia, and they're really doing this with Ma'am Donnie. I've seen this over and over again with a number of elected officials, and I've tweeted some of it out. But they are all in on trying to defend him. Like, for instance, and Hassan and others have said, oh my gosh, the levels of Islamophobia in the country are off the charts right now. People are criticizing anybody who accurately points out anything with Ma'am Donnie. They're criticizing them as being Islamophobic. Like, for instance, if you have if you take offense to Ma'am Donnie refusing to condemn the phrase globalize the intifada and refuse to work or associate with people who incorporate it as a part of their, you know, daily, everyday sayings, then you're Islamophobic because you're criticizing him for it. So they're trying to dodge criticism by claiming that everything is Islamophobic. Now, keep in mind, this is a guy who literally was campaigning with an unindicted co-conspirator in 9/11. And unindicted, not because there wasn't evidence there, but because the government had to come up, I guess, with some kind of deal to get this guy, although he was testifying in favor of the Islamists that on their behalf. But I don't know. I mean, I still think the government could have brought charges, but that's the thing that's, you know, 20 something years ago. But his kids are all arrested, serving life sentences. All of this Imam Siraj Wahaj, this guy who Ma'am Donnie was literally campaigning with all last week. He was. There's photos, videos of them everywhere together. All of this Imam's kids are serving life sentences in jail. And you know why? Because they were running, and I'm using this not like the left, literally a kiddie terror training camp in New Mexico, where they were training kids to go into schools and shoot people and go into buildings and shoot, because no one would expect a kid to pull out a gun, right? They were actually doing that. They got raided. They kidnapped some kids. One of them was his son. He left his wife in Georgia, and he took, and this is Siraj Wahaj's grandson, took the boy to New Mexico. The boy apparently dealt with seizures and some other neurological issues and required medication that Wahaj refused to give him. And the kid was dead. When they raided it, that kid was dead. They found his remains on the property. Apparently, they didn't even give him a proper burial. That's this Imam, all his kids serving life sentences. Do you know what the common denominator in that is besides their Islamism? It's the dad, the Imam. That's who Ma'am Donnie was campaigning with all last week. So it's not Islamophobia when you're talking about a statistical fact. That's not Islamophobia. And if you want to talk about the levels of hatred, the levels of bigotry against Christians and non-Muslims has always been off the charts. Go to Saudi Arabia and try to play some church bells. Go to Qatar and try to play church bells. Go to any Arab nation and try to play church bells. Go to any Islamic country and try to play church bells. Not going to happen. So pound sand. Not going to happen. This is insane. This idea that, oh, it's all, you can't criticize. So they're pulling this out of the bag. Hopefully people are smart enough to reject it. But Ma'am Donnie is leading in New York. New York is going to be dead after this. They are going to be a city that is utterly destroyed when he gets into office. And they deserve it because they voted for it. I don't feel any empathy at all. No, I don't. This is a voting bloc that has voted Marxist for forever, and now they're getting what they wanted. I mean, I see some of these other people. Oh, we got to leave New York. Leftists, we got to leave New York. We can't have Ma'am Donnie. You paved the way for him. Think about this. All of these people out there, they wanted socialist health care. They wanted socialist this. They wanted state-run this. And then suddenly they get it, and they realize only then how immediately it hurts their bottom line, and then they don't want it anymore. No. You bought the ticket. Now you got to take the ride. And it's just starting. Keep your arms and legs inside of the vehicle at all times. This tactic, they've done this for a long time, a very long time. And I'm just saying, that's where I don't think that people are going to go with it. But they're not the same. The church bells and all that, definitely not the same. Looking at some of our audio here as well. This, by the way, let's do a flashback. This is cut 18. This is New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani. Just listen to this.
There's still, you know, this illusion, and it's partially a result of settler colonialism, that all of us can become New Yorkers, that all of us can settle into the city. And yet there would be these moments where I would be reminded by someone whose intent was to tell me that you do not belong. And one of those first moments was on 9/11, when, before I knew what had happened, my teacher had pulled me and a Muslim classmate of mine out of the class and told us that something has happened and you may be bullied. And I want you to tell me if that happens. And frankly, I was lucky because most Muslim students in the city were not given that kind of care from their teachers. And yet in that moment, I realized that I was not simply another classmate in a middle school.
Yeah. That didn't happen. I don't believe you. I don't believe anything. But he was interesting. It's an illusion that they can become New Yorkers and assimilate into the city. Assimilation is what it takes to make this free country work. That's one of the reasons why the left decided that they wanted to reject melting pot. Do you know that they try to have it two ways? They want the idea. They sit here and say, oh, we can't, everything has to be inclusive, et cetera, et cetera. But when you do it, they bristle. They don't like the term melting pot because they need these cultural divisions to replace the economic warfare. It's a different form of Marxism. It's just switching out the variable, but it's the same formula. Very interesting. So I don't know. I think it's, this is going to become a greater and greater issue. This, we'll keep talking about here coming up, but Graham Plattner, this is the guy who's running in Maine. So apparently, I guess he found, let me pull this piece up. He had the Nazi, he got drunk and apparently got a Nazi tattoo some years ago. And now he says it's been covered with one of the worst tattoos I've ever, I mean, it's a horrible tattoo. What is that website? It's like Bad Tattoos, or it's on Instagram, something like that. So he said he's covered it. He got a skull and crossbones. It's not a skull and crossbones tattoo. It's like this Nazi tattoo, like a Totenkopf or something like that. And they said after he said he got it during a night of drinking. He's a Marxist. And when he was on leave, I don't even know how you can serve in the military and be so far left that you're a Marxist, but I digress. But he said he didn't know that it was associated with the Nazi police. But all of it, like people who knew him at the time, were coming forward to the press saying, well, he said it was this Totenkopf or whatever. He was saying that's what it was. So he said, going to a tattoo removal place is going to take a while. I wanted it off. And so he got it. So the tattoo was like a specific symbol of Hitler's paramilitary. So he apparently, he got it covered up by an equally horrible tattoo. I don't even know what it is, Kane. What is it? Like a deformed dog on a ball? I don't know.
Looked like a horrible job at this skull and crossbones tattoo. And then now whatever he's covered it up with, I can't even tell what that is.
Yeah, I don't. Oh,
but
boy.
I zoomed into the photo of the apparent changed tattoo.
Yeah,
it looks
original.
Like the photo's manipulated a little bit on the one they published.
That was the original. And then he apparently got it covered with I don't know what it is, like a dog or something. Dude, it's so weird looking. I don't know. Guys, it's been covered. Hitler changed his name, so he's not Hitler anymore. I'm just saying. You know. Just. This is why people. So the cover up, he got it. I'm looking at the new. I don't know what it is. I just cannot believe that this is. It's like a weird dog thing on a, I don't know. We're trying. I feel so. Can you imagine being the tattoo artist that now you're going to be associated with that forever? Like, I don't know. Our friend Dave Burge was like, I need a cover up for this Nazi Totenkopf tattoo. I can see why. Anything in mind? How about a badass wolf? I like badass wolf packs and whatnot. But I said, give me a wolf. And I guess that's what it is.
I guess.
I don't know. Man. All right. We got a lot more on the way. We've got Days of These United States coming up. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends over at All Family Pharmacy. All Family Pharmacy is a great website. This is like your all medication, everything repository. It really is. Anything that you need, they have at All Family Pharmacy. And All Family Pharmacy not only has your everyday medications, they also have a lot like antibiotics. They have Tamiflu. You can get things in 2 to 4 days. You can get them overnighted if you're in a pinch, which I have done. Not only did I do that when I was getting sick before Thanksgiving and I was able to get a Z-Pak, but my son, who is at school, was getting strep throat. And before he could get in to see the doctor, I was able to get some All Family Pharmacy overnighted to him, some amoxicillin. And then it's funny because when he went in to the doctor, they prescribed him the same thing that we'd ordered from All Family Pharmacy. So you fill it out, the doctor reviews it, and then they send you your medications. They have ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and mebendazole and NAD+, everything that you need. You don't need any gatekeepers. All Family Pharmacy makes it accessible just to you, and it's so easy. You can get 10% off right now when you go through allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana10. So don't wait. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, code Dana10 for 10% off.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast. We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope. Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to The Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
This is a song I wrote called Crazy World.
Oh, kill me.
Which is how I cope.
Okay, let's hear it.
I've seen a young girl smiling.
Oh, my gosh.
It's something he just said.
I'm not going to get through this.
I watched him fall into her pretty green eyes. His cheeks turned Valentine red.
So derivative.
I've seen an old man walking with his wife by
his
side.
He's trying so hard to be John Mellencamp.
I watched him reach down.
And Bruce Springsteen in one horrible amalgam. Oh, man. This is Jeff Bridges, who was on. What the hell show was this? What was he on?
Jeff Daniels.
Sorry, Jeff Daniels, not Jeff Bridges. Wrong Forgive Jeff. Me. There's lots of Jeffs out there. Aren't they? They're pretty much the same, though, right? Because they're both like, meh. Jeff Daniels, though, is kind of a D-bag. So he wrote this horrible song, which is just him plucking this little acoustic. And he thinks he's like, you know, a Bruce Springsteen, John Mellencamp thing. I love how it's all, I saw an old man walking. I saw a girl smiling. Boy, I saw her pet her dog. And blick, blick, blick. Can't have nice things. We cannot have nice things. He said it was a song that was inspired by the New Kings protests, and it's how he copes. I think he needs probably therapy, not an acoustic guitar. I can't deal with it. These people, so embarrassing. I guess they just lack the self-awareness that we have. We would be embarrassed if we even knew anyone, one of our friends did that. We have a lot more on the way. Second hour, don't go anywhere. If you want to deal with inflammation, if you want to deal with minimizing, you want to minimize your aches and pains, whether it's from exercise or just maybe, you know, the long road of life, you can do that with Relief Factor. It's 100% drug free, and it uses things like resveratrol and curcumin and turmeric and all kinds of stuff to help support your body's natural inflammatory response. Again, 100% drug-free, research-based formula, and it's all about decreasing discomfort from exercise and everyday living, etc. Maintaining healthy joints and muscles, that's what it's all about. My husband uses it to help with old sports injuries. It promotes better movement and less pain over time as well. It controls, it helps to target and control that inflammation, out of control inflammation that can create so many problems later on. You can try their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. It's only 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee. Try relieffactor.com or call 800, the number 4, relief, and get your 3-week quick start today for just $19.95.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior,
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
I mean, shutdowns are terrible. And of course, there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer. We take that responsibility very seriously. But it is one of the few leveraged times we have.
Oh. Well, wow, an honest Democrat. Yes, families suffering. That's our leverage. The beatings will continue until morale improves. That's, wow. So, of course, people will suffer. What Republicans need to be cutting that right now as an ad for 28. They need to be cutting that as an ad right now. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. Yes, the they're getting paid still, right?
Yeah, they are actually.
So why do they get paid? I'm out of curiosity. We had a national shutdown and you guys didn't get paid. I mean, they literally made you provide, especially those of you who own property, they made you provide free housing and pay for the utilities of the people living in your property, but you didn't get a break on your taxes. Oh, man. Even if it saves one life. Well, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't even matter. Why is she's like hunched all over. It's weird. She's way too tall for this. She's bigger than that man. This is Catherine Clark, the number 2 House Democrat. Of course, there will be families that are going to suffer. But it's one of the few things of leverage we have. Now you can see why Fetterman has taken a different tact. This is cut 27. I think Democrats have lost him. Listen.
Hi, here we are, and our government remains closed. And I think that's failure. And I'm the guy that's going to consistently vote for country over party. I'm always going to vote for paying our military over the party. I'm always going to vote for paying the Capitol Police over my party. And I'm going to continue to fight for the 2 million Pennsylvanians that depend on SNAP to feed themselves. And I'm also going to fight for the same 400,020 Pennsylvanians that depend on those tax credits to make health insurance more affordable. Two things are true, and now we can fight for all of them as long as our government is open. My vote is going to remain firmly on keeping our government open, and I'm going to continue to fight for all of those Pennsylvanians that I'm honored to represent here.
I mean, I'm telling you, they've lost him. He just needs to come on over now. We don't care about the hoodie.
He's a Democrat of 12 to 15 years ago. That's literally what they were.
Completely. Before they let their Marxist street team take over. I mean, wow. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong with this. This is what speaking of Obamacare, because he mentioned the Obamacare subsidies. Let me talk about this for a moment. Have you seen this story that I'm pulling this up? I think it was Amy Klobuchar, and a number of other Democrats. Here it is. Oh, man, it's like the talking points went out. So Amy Klobuchar, and you remember Senator Amy Klobuchar, she's had the little bit of, she's the one who got really mad and threw a hairbrush at someone, and then she was accused of eating salad with a hair, I don't even know. Anyway, so they've been using this couple, and I've seen this over and over again, this Bill and Shelley couple. Early retirees like Bill and Shelley will see their health insurance premiums increase nearly 300% from $442 to $1,700 per month if congressional Republicans refuse to extend the enhanced tax credits. That's an extra $15,000 a year that families can afford. I got a lot of questions about this, though, because she just admitted that Obamacare is unaffordable without taxpayer subsidies. You know, when we said this back in 2012, we were called racist. I was called a racist to my face on CNN because I objected to socialized medicine. And that's what this was. That's what it is. It was always designed to be unaffordable. It was always designed as a way to get everybody on government single payer. That was the whole intent of it. And we were called, can you remember this? Racists.
Yep.
Racist, racist, racist. That's what everyone was called. But we were right about this. And I would say that the rest of you, no one can afford an extra $15,000 a year to pay for Bill and Shelley's health insurance. Bill and Shelley are in their 60s and they're retired. It is not the responsibility of younger families to subsidize your health care. That's a Ponzi scheme. I called Social Security a Ponzi scheme too. And oh my gosh, the left lost their minds. So they've got a $15,000. This is really what it is. Think about it. So they're getting $15,000 a year in subsidies, taxpayer-funded subsidies, while they pretend that Obamacare is affordable. If it's so damn affordable, why do taxpayers have to facilitate it? Why do all of the rest of us have to pay for it? Here's the thing. When this happened, we broke this down. They were charging, like, for instance, single dudes. Young single dudes like Steve, an exorbitant amount of money and basically making people like him pay for the coverage of like gynecological care, pediatric care. Now, he's not a woman. He doesn't have kids. Why should he have to pay any of that? Oh, he has to pay for it because it's going to pay for somebody else's. He could just do an a la carte kind of thing if our health insurance was done correctly and it wasn't tied to employers and it was portable and it could, and you could have insurers compete across state lines. You know, if it was really about the benefit to the recipient, to the taxpayer, then that's how it would be structured. The fact that it's not structured that way is because it's at the benefit of the insurance company that donated millions of dollars to Democrat campaigns. This is an open secret, literally on opensecrets.org. So it was all designed specifically to be unaffordable, to break the old system and get everybody on government-funded care. So they were getting $15,000 a year so Democrats could pretend that it was actually affordable. And they're considered early retirees. Look, I get it that some of the older people in the boomer generation, you know, they retired. You know, I get it. Social Security is a scam, etc. This is how they need to look at it. There are younger families out there that are still going at it. We're still plowing away that don't want to have to pay for benefits of early retirees because we're all struggling still to pay our own and raise our own kids. Not only that, but we have our parents. We're caught in between our parents and our kids. That's a lot for families to deal with, to say nothing of families that are just now starting to have kids. And a lot of people in the younger generations, they have a lot of rage towards the Marxists in the older generations. And I don't think that people in the older generations understand just how angry younger generations are at the Marxists that were voting for all of this. I mean, it is a rage and it's righteous. I get it. So you've got to be a little bit understanding of that because there are families that can't even afford to buy houses now. And they're being told, yeah, we know you can't, you don't have a house. You can't even afford to buy a house, but you have to pay for the benefits of these early retirees. And I'm curious as to whether Bill and Shelley voted for this because they're being used as Democrat propaganda. My guess is that they voted for all of this. I feel like they should have to struggle it out. It is not everybody else's responsibility to cover for Bill and Shelley's stupid Democrat vote. I mean, if you cannot afford your own health insurance at 58, Bill and Shelley, then you can't retire. It's not the rest of our responsibility to do that for you. I mean, that means you're bankrolling them for what? Theoretically, maybe 25, 30 years. They're not going to add to the tax base, but you're going to be covering them. Do you see what I'm saying? That's all this was designed. This was never designed to be affordable. Obamacare is a joke. It is a joke. The people who are like, oh no, y'all don't know. I told you before, I actually had a family member that was seen an oncologist. This was in St. Louis. And when Obamacare passed and they were dealing with an issue, they could not go to that oncologist anymore because it was no longer covered by Obamacare. So at one of the most trying points of their lives, they had to literally uproot everything to go to a different doctor and actually get worse care and pay more. When one of my kids was a lot younger, he had severe allergies to the point where he would have asthmatic responses. And so we had to go see a specialist. I lost coverage to that and access to that specialist when Obamacare kicked in. We had to change doctors because our insurance would not pay for that anymore. So when Barack Obama was out there saying, if you like your doctor, you can keep it, that is a lie. And the people who cover for it, damn you. You're evil. The people who said that, oh, no, you can keep your doctor, you are evil. Think about how many families that affected. What we pay for our health insurance now, I pay more for health insurance now. It's probably almost 3.5 times more than what we paid previously. That's what Obamacare did. I have so many stories of people in my family, people who are my friends who went through the same thing. So if you are, we're subsidizing. If you're retiring in your 50s, your early retirees, if you can't afford your own health insurance, sorry, you can't afford to retire. I'm not busting my ass. I'm not asking my listeners to bust their asses to barely make ends meet for themselves, pay for their own family's care, to say nothing of taking care of their parents too, so that Bill and Shelley can sit back and live the good life on the taxpayer dime. That's called welfare. It's welfare. Obamacare is welfare. And they try to trick you into thinking you're actually getting something better for your money. Yeah, I remember Kane, you said that point about as cheap as your cell phone bill. I almost fell over when they said that.
I think I even found that audio, but it's unreal the lies that were being told back then. And by the way, the trajectory on the cost for healthcare was on an upward trajectory. But when Obamacare was implemented, that upward trajectory just got fuel on the fire at that point. And now this is where we are.
Yep. So what I hear Klobuchar and other Democrats saying, using this Bill and Shelley, and they were all tweeting out this Bill and Shelley thing. What I hear them saying is Obamacare wasn't affordable. If it was affordable, they wouldn't have to be doing it. You wouldn't have to have these subsidies. They wouldn't be screaming about an extension of subsidies. If it was actually affordable, they wouldn't be talking about any of that. You wouldn't have to have it in order to be able to afford your health care. So they're telling you right now that Obamacare is unaffordable. It doesn't work without the welfare of taxpayer subsidization. That is the only way it works. That's not affordable. That was what it was called, the Affordable Care Act. It's not affordable, never was. So yeah, the whole story about, well, Republicans are going to let this expire, they should. We'll have more on this coming up as we move. Our partners that help bring you the program. We got a lot more on the way as we move. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's the folks over at Super Beats, the company Human. They were founded out of the UT Health Science Center, and it was built on real cardiovascular research around blood flow and nitric oxide. Unlike other supplement brands, Human is science-born, not just science-ish. Their products work, and you can feel them working. UT athletes have used Super Beats for over a decade, calling it their cheat code for recovery and endurance. And you can use it for the same reason, to support healthy blood pressure and circulation. There are more than 160 college and pro teams that use Human products, and so your favorite team probably does too. The Human logo is on the Longhorns field this football season. They've been working very closely with UT and helping to lead the future of cardiovascular health, not just for athletes, but for everyone. And you can pick up Super Beats at your local Walmart and start supporting your cardiovascular health today. Individually wrapped, perfect for on-the-go heart health support. Get on the road to better health with Super Beats from Human.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50 something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop, they evolve. Rush.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up. King Tut's tomb is at risk of collapsing. Archaeologists are shocked to discover cracks spreading across the priceless 3,300-year-old burial site. You want to know a fun fact? So the guy who actually financed and helped lead the expedition into King Tut's tomb, what is his name? Carnarvon? The family seat is the house for Downton Abbey. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Anyway, they said that, there's cracks. It looks like it. I wouldn't want to be down there if there's cracks and they think it could be at risk of collapsing. Cairo University found that they've developed a fault line running through the ceiling of the entrance and burial chambers. The fissures allow rainwater to seep in, so it's eroding the integrity of the tomb. It's made from a stone called Esna shale, which expands and contracts with changes in humidity. And so the spreading dampness means that a total collapse is now an actual legitimate and serious danger. I wouldn't want to be down there for that, would you? You want to get buried up in that tomb, Kane? I don't think so. I wouldn't. That's kind of creepy. A wild bear looking for a friend breaks into a California zoo and meets three captive bears. I'll be your bear friend. Oh my goodness. It's the Sequoia Park Zoo said a wild young American black bear broke into the facility to visit three captive bears that were also black bears. And apparently he was discovered during a... They were inspecting the area that the bears were at, and the enclosure. That's the word I'm looking for.
He broke into prison.
Yeah. And they said the interaction between them was very sweet, calm, and curious, and we think he was just looking for a friend. So, that's so sweet. I'll be your bear friend. Oh my goodness. Come on. Let's see. Also, if you want to lower anxiety, put your phone away. Duh. And a coroner canceled a safe family Halloween party because of the controversy over rotting corpses. We're coming back to this one. There's not enough time to give it the attention it needs. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you the program. It is the folks over at Kel-Tec, the KS7 Gen 2 shotgun. If you're in the market for a shotgun, check out Kel-Tec's KS7, the second gen. It's packed with upgrades. You have a 5-slot Picatinny-style accessory rail. You can add vertical grips, lights, keep it flush, sleek. With a cap if you want. It's a smoother pump action, so you have faster, cleaner cycling, plus enhanced durability. All the original advantages are there. The ultra lightweight, it just made, under 7 pounds unloaded, compact bullpup design, maneuverability in tight spaces, ambidextrous downward shell ejection, 7+1 capacity for all of it. Great for home defense, range days. It works well for seasoned shooters and first timers. MSRP is just $639, so it's super affordable, all accessible, well within reach. Check it out. It's from KeltecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. It's the KS7 Gen 2. Tell them that Dana sent you.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock.
the spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If I'm being very honest, we are 3 weeks away from an election in Virginia. I have worked tirelessly for 2 years running for this office. I announced in November 2023. The fact that I say this with all due respect because, you know, I think it's a fair thing for you to ask about, the fact that I have to spend even a moment's time talking about somebody else's text messages from years ago rather than what I want to do as governor is something that I am deeply unhappy about.
Well, how do you think the rest of everybody else, how do you think the guy who was at the center of the text, who is the one who was, Jay Jones was saying that he wanted to kill, how do you think he feels about all of this? That's Abigail Spanberger, who is, and by the way, it was just a couple of years ago. She's trying to make it sound like it was 20, 30 years ago, which does that actually make it any better? No, it doesn't. She's upset that she doesn't want to have to face the accountability for it. She's upset because she's defended him in the past. And she just doesn't think that that's anything that she should have to deal with, even though she does. And she made it so because she's like campaigned with him and has backed him. This is all part of this. It's just ridiculous. This, she's running against Winston Earl Sears. She's running against her for governor. Winston Earl Sears is the lieutenant governor and she's running for governor. Abigail Spanberger is running for governor. And she had been previously asked whether or not she would disavow her support for this, her remarks, Jay Jones's remarks, whether or not she would disavow it. And she got mad. She was just like, well, you know, I'm only responsible for myself, et cetera. I mean, it was really bad during the debate. And there was an interview that she had given to Katie Couric, and this was part of what was released yesterday, where she was asked about the text, and then she said that it's up to individual voters to figure out how they're going to vote on Jay Jones. And then she said, and that's something that she has used as a deflection before. Then she said she was upset that she had even answered. That's part of this interview. She's complaining that she is being asked to condemn or even just so much as say that Jay Jones's texts are bad. Her quote that you just heard, the fact that I have to spend even a moment's time talking about somebody else's text messages from years ago is something I'm deeply unhappy about. You know what? We're deeply unhappy that people from your party keep killing conservatives. We're deeply unhappy that you have a guy running for top cop in Virginia who thinks it's appropriate to fetishize putting bullets in his opponent's heads and talking about killing their kids. The way that he texted that was methodical and repetitive. It wasn't just he got mad. First off, if you get mad and you're spouting something off, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's why this was a big deal. And that's why a lot of people were talking about that Republican chat thing. I mean, you can sit here and act like it's different because of the affiliation, but, you know, it's not. Jay Jones is fetishizing about killing. You heard what he said or read what he said about his opponent's kids and how the mom should have to watch them die. And that suffering like that somehow is, you know, that's sometimes required in order to get the message across or in order to learn the lesson. That is terrifying. And he's not just running for like state house or state senate to be a delegate. He's not running for that. He's running for attorney general. There's a lot of power as attorney general, Kane. You know that. There's a lot of power as AG. He's running as top cop. Suddenly the left loves police, Kane.
After he actually said he wants to see police killed so that policies will change.
Wow.
Unreal.
And and Abigail Spanberger thinks that she's a victim because her running mate wished death on someone else, and that makes her the victim. This is not difficult, okay? This isn't difficult. Don't be so attached to the crazies that you drive away the people who decide elections, which are independents, and there's a lot of them. They don't care about that. It's wild. I mean, wishing violence on somebody. The thing that worries me is because I've seen positions of power abused. And maybe that's, I'm super sensitive to that stuff because it's real and it happens. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. I will never forget, who was it? The cop who ran Austin police, their chief down there, super far left, literally told me one time that he was going to be watching me on social media, like actually put it into words. I mean, I said on stage with Scott Israel, I know that there are bad people out there and they get into these positions of power and bad things happen. This is attorney general. It doesn't get much higher. It doesn't get any higher in the state than that in terms of law enforcement. It's wild. I mean, that's not a difficult thing to do, folks. That's like how they're doing this with Mamdani. They're trying to make themselves the victims. Ooh, speaking of that, Hunter Biden, let me tell you this. So Red State had this. Hunter Biden was enraged the time. Do you remember all that point? Where was it at? Let me pull this up. They were at an event. So it was a Los Angeles fundraiser in June of 2024. And we played that. We were playing some of it when it happened. It was in June of 2024, and they were on stage. Joe Biden was there, Barack Obama, Jimmy Kimmel. And do you all remember that moment on the stage when Biden sort of froze and Barack Obama came and led him off the stage? Do you guys remember that moment? We played that on air when it happened. And it was Joe Biden's reelection campaign. I think they raised $28 million that night. They were at the Peacock Theater and they were on stage. Jimmy Kimmel was apparently he was moderating the discussion. And it was a 40-minute discussion, and they were on stage, and Biden just sort of froze, and Barack Obama led him off stage. Remember, we were talking about that a lot. We're like, that was weird. It looked weird. It looked weird, and it looked like Biden was in trouble, and I'm watching the video again, and he just stood there. Like, they get ready. Like, they're getting ready to walk off the stage, and Biden's just sort of standing there. And he didn't move. I mean, it was like he literally froze. And then that's when Obama grabbed his hand and started leading him off the stage. And so Hunter Biden is livid over that. This is the second time that he's spoken out about it. He said that apparently it enraged him beyond comprehension. This is the video. See, Barack Obama has already had a hold of his hand and then puts his hand on his back and leads him off the stage. Hunter Biden said this is what he said, quote, I almost jumped up on stage and said, don't ever blinking do that to the president of the United States again, ever. He said, I knew it was going to be a meme and it really, really made him mad. And he said he almost launched into a profane tirade against Obama and got in his face and threatened him. He said he almost did. I'm sure he did. Mm. And by the way, that the thing that you just watched, that was not even 2 weeks after the debate that Biden had against Trump. So that was like the, you know, not the immediate Friday, but the Friday after that. And he was livid because he thinks that Obama made his dad look bad. Now, he's not really said anything about the debate performance. He's mad at everybody else for this. He said that it enraged him. He almost leapt on stage.
In a crack-fueled rage?
I know, like powered by cocaine. What? I mean, it looks weird, but is that enough? Why would he? I don't get it.
The way I saw it was, if anything, Obama actually helped Biden from more embarrassment than he would have had he not helped him off stage in a way that was kind of like hand on the back. You know right? what I mean? Sort of not like holding his hand and elbow and leading them around like you're some, you know, old folks home worker.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I don't necessarily get it. This switching gears here. This piece, I'm sure you guys saw it over the weekend. The Trump administration is the headline is that they agreed to a student loan forgiveness deal. It's the American Federation of Teachers. Last week, they resumed student debt relief for those who've been paying on their loans for the past 20 to 25 years. I'm sorry, how, what? 20 to 25 years you're paying on a loan? They're going to continue processing relief for borrowers in income contingent repayment and pay-as-you-earn plans until the options are eliminated in 2028. This has been a big back and forth. I have a problem with it. Now, I understand that it's part of a legal settlement, but they did not have to settle. They could have continued fighting this in court. So that's my issue with it. I feel like that's a fair assessment, Kane. Mm-hmm. They could have continued to fight this in court, and I don't know why they didn't.
Now, there are some people that do get caught up in the trap of having to, you know, they had to defer their loans, and then they got extra interest on the loan, and then if they're paying for 20 years all this additional interest, what they would have already paid off would have been their loan had it not been for all these additional interest and charges and deferments and things of that nature. So I can see both sides of the coin here. And I guess to satisfy legally, the Trump administration just said, you know what, it's easier just to do this. Let's just make this happen. Gets the lawsuit out of the way and everybody's happy. So I think that's what it did. I think that's what
I don't
it
know.
Is. But I wish they would have more context on this. I wish they'd come
out. There was no explanation from the White House.
That's and they all came they have out to with do.
It. And then what gets me is the, because look, everybody has a bot army, including the admin. And what gets me is that people ask genuine questions about it, and then these jackwagon bot armies get out there like, how dare you? You didn't know. No, it's a legitimate thing. I understand your point. I just think they should have kept fighting it. And I understand people, you know, there'd be things and they end up paying off. But you knew that when you bought the ticket. You know what I'm saying? You knew that. You knew that that was going to be a possibility. So now that debt has got to get paid by the taxpayer regardless. That is my issue with it. So I just feel like that's something they could have continued to fight in court.
You know what I'd love to hear from the White House is that they've tapped into some of these endowments. And they said, you know what? Because of the forgiveness, that obviously the rate and the cost of education went up, not because the education got better, but because the government was the one stepping in providing the money to right. do this.
Right.
So that's why. So if they had come out and said, you know what, we're going to be taking some of those and we're going to give it to those people who were wrongfully loaned this money with that high interest or whatever, I'm like, all right, you know what, that makes sense. Those endowments are pretty
and
big.
That's one of the things too. I know Lorraine made this point, and I can agree more with just forgiving the interest but not the whole debt. But at the same time, I'm still like, but you knew, that's one of the reasons why everyone was like, don't take it, don't do this. You go, our system is so screwed up because taxpayers are still have to cover it.
Yeah, and people like us saw decades ago that the value of this kind of education wasn't there in comparison to the cost.
Right.
And all the cost has done is gone up from that point.
Right, exactly. We have more on the way. We got Florida Man coming up. You don't want to miss as we move our partners that help bring you the program. It's the folks at Ammo Squared. Gosh, you remember how everybody was freaking out during the Wu flu for ammo? There was no ammo anywhere. And if you could find it, it was super expensive. There were empty shelves. The prices were sky high. The regret was just awful. You don't want to ever allow yourself to be in that position again. Ammo Squared is the country's ammunition reserve. It's a worry-free solution to stockpiling your ammo for the future and avoid getting caught empty-handed. They have over 70 calibers. You can set your monthly budget. Let them curate your supply automatically. Forget it. Set it, forget it, ship it when you need it. They have a secure, climate-controlled facility so your ammo is kept fresh and safe until you decide to get it delivered. There's no minimums, no hidden fees, and you get free shipping on orders over $250. That's awesome. And it's great if you want to try out new calibers or if you just, you know, want to top off some of your training rounds. And you can even get alerts that'll notify you if there's something you're looking for, if you need to get, you know, a certain kind or whatever. You can be alerted. But there's, you know, over 100,000 members of this, of AMO Squared, and they have thousands of five-star reviews. Your readiness is their mission. Visit AmmoSquared.com for a special offer and secure your ammo supply for the future. Don't get caught without ammo. Visit AmmoSquared.com and keep yourself fully stocked and tell them that you heard it from The Dana Show.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, me stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, me pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Gosh, I have some really stupid ones and really weird ones, too, that I didn't think that you could actually, there's something you could get popped for, but I guess you can. All right, so first up, let's do, what one do I want? Okay, let me do, I saw this one. Actually, this is one of the first non-insane ones that Florida woman Amber sent me. A cook was arrested for stealing secret recipes from a Doral restaurant in Florida. A Florida man was caught on camera stealing secret recipes from a Doral restaurant. They arrested him on a felony charge Monday. The staff at Mordisco, Miami, noticed three of their recipe books had gone missing, and they identified their line cook, Carlos Marquez, as the guy doing it. They said that he, 50 years old, was seen stealing these recipes out of these cookbooks on October 12th. And the restaurant specializes in Venezuelan-style steaks, appetizers, and other food, according to police. And he has, I didn't know they did that. So he, they said he works, the other place that he works at is a sandwich and smoothie shop that doesn't sell Venezuelan food. So they had no idea what he was going to do with the books. So that's a felony. He's out on $2,500 on bond. That's wild. I wonder how they like figured out, because doesn't it have to be like a monetary amount to get?
Well, I mean, if those recipes were used in the restaurant for how many years, how much money did they make off of those recipes? That's true. That's a loss.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. A Florida man stole a fire engine and crashed into a vehicle after a joyride in Tampa. Yeah. They said that Warren Scudder, 59 years old, stole the fire engine around 9:30 in the morning while firefighters were inside St. Joseph's Hospital. He drove off and crashed into a Lexus and then continued driving it around for another mile and a half before he was surrounded by officers. He was arrested, charged with grand theft auto and hit and run. He has a criminal history, I'm sure you're surprised about that. He filed a false report of a bomb in 2020 in Pinellas County, so... The driver had to be evaluated of the Lexus for hip pain at the hospital. So there you go. Let's see this. Oh, so a Florida man deliberately accelerated his BMW towards children playing in the street after he argued with them. Ooh. Todd Norwood, 45 years old. He looks like that guy, you know. He there were kids riding e-bikes in the street, and he allegedly accelerated his BMW towards them. This was on Saturday. And he, they said he drove his red BMW in the direction of the group and apparently struck a 13-year-old boy. His wife was in the passenger seat, was arrested and accused of battering one of the other kids during the altercation. I can't even believe this. So why are you fighting with kids in the first place? If you're worried about kids behaving unsafely, that's what law enforcement is for, since their parents aren't doing the job. But e-bikes, I get nervous about those because I see kids. There was a kid not far from our area that got hit on his e-bike because he just crossed and I guess didn't gauge traffic well enough. Be careful with those. Third hour next. We have our friends over at Chapter. It's, what do you all hear, like that Medicare enrollment season, the nonstop. A lot of people get these nonstop texts and mailers, and then you got the commercials. That seems incredibly annoying. Do you know for like 20 minutes or less, you could deal with all of that and make sure that you have the best plan the best care possible. That's what Chapter does. So Chapter is a partner that you can work with that reviews every plan across the country to make sure that you are not overpaying. And on average, they save people over $1,000 a year. And their advisors are salary. They're not on commission. They advocate for you, not for the insurance company. So it's not a hassle. Nobody wants all the calls and the mailers and the texts and blah. You don't want to have to deal with that. And look, if your current plan is still the best fit, then you're all set. If not, they're going to help you switch over. It's so easy to do. This is one thing that you actually should do when it comes to Medicare enrollment, because you don't want to lose coverage that you depend on. And there could be something better out there. No gimmicks, no pressure, just honest advice from experts who know Medicare inside and out. Dial #250 and say the words My Medicare. It's too important to you, so don't risk it. Work with someone you can trust, and that is Chapter. Dial #250 and say the words My Medicare.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
I think the little Manchurian candidate, J.D. Vance, wants to be president more than anything else.
Yeah.
I always wonder what's going on in the mind of his wife. Like,
agree.
Are you okay? Please blink four times.
Yes.
We'll come over here. We'll save you.
What is that about? That's Jen Psaki, who's talking about Usha Vance, saying that, I guess, that she's with him against her will. What a weird, that's a weird thing to say about someone. Maybe just like keep people's marriages and their kids and keep death threats out of it. I feel like Democrats have to be rehabilitated so that they learn how to act like humans again and they learn how to talk to people again, because this is not cool. It's not. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of this third hour. The chat's at Rumble. You can also find us on Substack and X and YouTube and Facebook and all that good stuff. So there is a lot of stuff to touch on. Some of it's real nerdy, but that was I don't watch her show. Is she on MSNBC or did she do like the Mehdi Hasan? And now Mehdi Hasan, I think, is just does his own little thing. And he's maybe like a guest sometimes.
I don't see how that show makes any money, no matter what network it's on.
I don't either. I don't really see how it does at all. But, you know, there it is. I really don't see it. I don't see how anybody watches it. I don't see how her show makes money. And it seems like the set's different. I don't know. It's just weird. We've been touching the ballroom. We've been talking about the main candidate who's got the Nazi tattoo. The White House renovations. Also, a couple of things to get into as well. So Hamas apparently is not, of course, update. Still government shutdown, and still Hamas is not honoring any bit. Well, they're not honoring the full agreement, the 20-point peace plan. They want to keep their grip on Gaza security, reports Reuters, and they can't commit to disarm, according to Hamas's own senior official. I guess they want to have everything blown up. I mean, that's the way I look at it. That's, you know, if you're refusing to do any of that, it just kind of seems that you're just, right?
A death wish.
Yeah, you got a death wish, for sure. Like, you there's definitely something there for sure. Also, I'm going to get into this in a minute. But they said that, I don't know what the timeline is on this. I feel like their timeline for disarmament and getting out, it seems like that maybe should have passed already, right?
I mean, Trump, he went out and was asked this directly a few days ago, and he was like, well, I don't really have a hard red line on this, but they're supposed to disarm, and if they're not, we're going to do it for them. So
violently, he said.
I want that FO part.
We're going to do it violently.
Yeah.
That's what he said. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's, because they're not going to. The whole point, I mean, the 20-point plan included Hamas picking up and leaving. Getting out, handing over. I mean, they're talking about ways to maybe have that area governed. What is the best way to do it? Hamas isn't going to leave. And it's really, I think it's the Arab world that has to get them out. Make all these other Arab nations go in and do it. Otherwise, they can deal with all the refugees and all the people coming in. And we all know that they don't want that, because whenever that's happened in Egypt, or whenever they've gone into Lebanon, or whenever they've gone into, there's always a conflict that arises, because they go and they start stuff and then there's a conflict, armed conflict, every single time without fail, without fail. I had this headline over the weekend. Generals are whining that Pete Hegseth has lost them. I don't know if you guys have seen some of this. Kane just looked like a rabid prairie dog that just popped up out of its hole. Like, he set ramrod straight. Yeah.
Generals are what again?
So there is a story in the Washington Times. Full disclosure, I have a column that runs there. But I don't know anybody there except my editor. The headline is, "He lost us. Generals and senior officers say that trust in Hegseth has evaporated." Wait, there's more. The secretary's critics worried the Pentagon is at risk of enduring damage amid firings, resignations, and early retirements of high-ranking staff. I'm going to say something very controversial. You're not much of a warrior if you're wringing your hands over the president's appointment like this. Thank you. You have one job. Show up and do it and take your orders. That's it. This is how this country works. If you don't like it, then take your fat, don't want to live up to PT standards ass out of the military and go to another country.
Thank you.
End of. Maybe you can go to North Korea, where you can wear all those medals on your uniform that go all the way down to your leg, and you can applaud Kim Jong-un. Because apparently they had no problem doing that when there was a Democrat in the White House, but God forbid they get a new appointment in from a Republican president who wants him to not be fat asses and lipstick and skirts and letting people fall from planes in Afghanistan, and suddenly they have problems. They need to worry about us losing our confidence in them. This is asinine. And instead of talking to the press like a bunch of women, anonymous sources, that's what I expect my girlfriends to do. I don't like seeing that behavior from a man, much less a man in uniform. Grow some balls, take your orders, and do your job. Or resigning, GTFO. That's it. That's the tweet.
Were any of these generals whining when, you know, Lloyd Austin went AWOL for a couple weeks, or when Millie was a furry or whatever and was promoting these LGBTQ stuff? Like, none of that worried them? None of that caused them any alarm?
Lloyd Austin was gone for like 2 weeks and nobody knew where he was. And he was getting like health treatment.
Right.
He didn't tell anybody. He literally was not, he was actually technically incapacitated to do his job. And you would think that those generals would have been, wow, we really lost our trust. No, they didn't do any of that. You would have thought that they would have said, wow, we really lost our trust, when there were literally people dropping off of the planes at Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul. You would have thought that they would have said, he's losing us. When we had 13 service members who were ordered to their deaths, who knew that a terrorist was casing the whole airport and testing for the weak spots, they saw him coming, they knew they were going to die, and they were told to stand there and die, and they did. You would have thought that those generals would have objected at that point and said, he's lost us. No, no, it's when Hegseth goes in and says, don't be fat. And they're like, oh my gosh, can you believe that he told us to not be fat?
You know what kind of energy this has is that same energy that 51 former FBIs or Pentagon officials say that the Hunter laptop isn't real and it's Russian disinformation. That's what this is, the kind of energy I get from this, where, oh, generals are not happy with Hegseth.
I wonder if any of these generals are the ones that were in lipsticks and skirts. I mean, that would explain, you know. I would have more cause to believe that they actually have vaginas because they're acting like a bunch of women than they're just pretending to. This is insane. This is crazy. I mean, I think they're mad about a number of things. I think they're mad about the press policies, I think they're mad because he told them to stop being fat and make sure that you can, like, you know, the PT standards that you can meet what's required of you physically.
No more DEI.
No more none of that. No, it's he's lost us. And it's all these, they're all anonymous sources.
Of course.
So one current Army general told the Washington Times, it was a massive waste of time. If he ever had us, he lost us. And that's when they had to go to Quantico and they had, they gathered at the Marine Corps base there and he gave this speech. Some said that it was some of these, this is what, here it is. This is from the article. Quote, the Quantico speech, described by other sources as embarrassing and theatrical to a degree that is below our institution. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to hold onto this desk to finish this.
God.
Oh my Lord. Seemed to crystallize beliefs about Mr. Hegseth that had taken root amongst some senior officers. You know what? I'm not even going to read there. I can't even get through the rest of it. Below your institution. You want to know what's below your institution? The people that were fallen. I mean, when's the last time you won a war? Dana, that's so mean. I'm a taxpayer. I come from a lineage of people who overthrew military rule. Come again? When's the last time you won a war? I mean, I've been hearing about inclusion. We had military accounts tweeting about alphabet and trans stuff. We had military accounts that were bragging about one of the dudes in the Air Force? I can't even remember what branch. Lipstick, skirt, high heels, the whole nine yards. A man showing up in uniform to work like this. People who wanted to use the military as a social experiment. That's below your institution. Making stupid mistakes, like in Kabul, when everyone on WhatsApp knew the Taliban was coming months prior. They knew the Taliban was coming to Kabul because they were WhatsApping all these little villages all along the way saying, you better surrender or we're going to murk you all. That's why, by the way, all of these villages in Afghanistan were surrendering before the Taliban even showed up. They knew it before they even showed up. Because they were on WhatsApp going, we're going to kill you all if you don't. So they were just like showing up like, hey, no problem. But these same people didn't know that because they weren't on WhatsApp paying attention. They didn't know that this was getting ready to go into fighting season for them over there. They had already wintered up in the mountains. So now they didn't know. I feel like that's below the institution. There are a lot of things that seem like it was below the institution, least of which is, can you just be healthy? Can you meet the standards physically that is required of everyone? Can we not use the military as a social experiment? Can we cut down excessive, nonsensical spending and actually refine our spending towards the things that make us more efficient and more lethal? Heaven forbid. Apparently, if you're questioning that and thinking that any of that is below the institution, then I'm going to question what your institution, what purpose it serves. So he asked people to return to the warrior ethos. Oh, no. What? I think they're just mad at the speech. They're mad at the speech is what it is. And that's unfortunate. Because it shouldn't be. These people would be mad at Patton. Now, I'm not comparing Hegseth to Patton. But I mean, if they're going to bristle at just this, oh my gosh, they would have been all over themselves flipping out over Patton. Didn't Patton pistol whip a feller because of cowardice? I'm just saying. All Family Pharmacy is a family-owned business dedicated to helping you get the medications that you need when you need them the most. With over 200 essential medications, including antibiotics, antivirals, ivermectin, emergency kits, and so much more, they have you covered for everything from daily prescriptions to even biohacking support. Right now, they've lowered prices on ivermectin and minbendazole by up to 25%, starting at just $2 a capsule. Plus, save an extra 10% using code DANA10. Each order includes a doctor's prescription, so there's no hassle or middleman. And as flu season approaches, now's the time to stock your medicine cabinet with essentials like Tamiflu, antibiotics, and vitamins to help keep you and your family healthy. And beyond basics, All Family Pharmacy offers biohacking products like NAD+, Methylene Blue, all kinds of stuff to boost energy, focus, immunity, the whole nine yards. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana10 to save 10% today. Don't wait. Be ready for flu season with All Family Pharmacy. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana10.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, me stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, me pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I've heard stories like that. There's a ton of these. A service dog alerted a mom to a little boy's low blood sugar from the other side of the house. And a lot of times they're caught on the cameras inside the house. It's really, I mean, this is sweet. I've seen a lot of these stories. It was a Cocker Spaniel that did it, that alerted the parent to the low blood sugar from the other side of the house. Type 1 diabetes and another sucrase. That's a lot of consonants deficiency.
Good boy.
Yeah, so there are the best people. Dogs are the best. Let's see. Also, 21.7 million Americans are projected to cruise next year. Setting a new record on like the ships. It's interesting. That's a 4.5 increase over, I gotta tell you, it was very nice going with the MRC thing, but I'm not one of those big boat people. I'm very weird. And it's just different, you know, just a different thing. That's a lot of people. Some of those boats are so enormous. I don't get anxiety, but I feel like I could. Because they're so huge and,
oh. And I've seen too many run aground and tip over.
Well, yeah, that was with the, wasn't that captain drunk?
Yes, both of them.
I'm sitting on the wire for my in-ear monitor. Apologies there for a second. Let's see. Also, ooh. So, and I'm trying to figure out how this happened. There was an object that hit a United Flight's windshield and they think it could have been a weather balloon. Now, remember when we talked to you, this was last week, we had headlines about this flight that was going to Los Angeles from Salt Lake City. Or no, sorry, it was going to Los Angeles, had to be diverted to Salt Lake City because an object struck its windshield at 36,000 feet. It cracked and injured the pilot even. And they think it may have been a weather balloon. Or aliens. Can you imagine you're flying a plane and you hit a little alien? Crazy. Let's see. What is this story? This is a British story. They're weird about camping up there. Oh, this couple was found dead in their camper van. Okay.
Instead of the tragedy, they just like, oh, look, they were in love. Look how in love
they were. Pretending to be homeless. I mean, I guess if that makes them happy, you know. Okay. Four arrested in an alleged attempt to smuggle gold powder into Japan. In their britches.
Oh, boy.
This is in Tokyo. They were arrested for trying to smuggle about 8 kilograms of gold worth about over half a million dollars. They busted them. I wonder how they busted them. Is that something you can smell for? Like powder, gold powder? Interesting. Stick with us. It's the folks over at Webroot. You want to make sure that you're surfing. Whenever you're online doing anything, even checking mail anymore, you want to make sure that you're protected because it's so sophisticated to rob you blind. It really actually is not as difficult as you think. And people, they're getting better and better at it, these criminal networks, these scammers. So Webroot, they have Webroot Total Protection. This is a safer way to live digitally. And you really need to think about this because once your stuff gets out there, you're SOL. I mean, unless you're like proactively trying to prevent it, once it's out there on the dark web, it's really hard to close that Pandora's box. This is where Webroot Total Protection is effective because they have an all-in-one plan that you can get for individuals or your entire family. Think about your parents. You know your parents open every email that's sent, regardless of whether or not the attachment's safe. God love them. But there's a built-in firewall. They have network monitoring. They have real-time antivirus, that a program that can block emerging threats like all the malware, ransomware, phishing, all of that stuff. But they also have $1 million in expense reimbursement for identity theft and advanced dark web monitoring as well, plus financial alerts included. You can protect a number of devices. You can have secure VPN encryption so no one's looking over your shoulder at whatever you're doing online. And you get 24/7 U.S.-based customer support for fast identity restoration. Nobody else covers that much, not even close. So get 60% off of Webroot Total Protection at webroot.com/Dana. The only way to get it, 60%, is through webroot.com/Dana. Live a better, safer digital life with Webroot.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
The Dana Show Podcast. Your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this third hour. So a couple of things to put on your plate. And I always tell people, you don't have to be in the weeds on firearm stuff for it or to know everything about it it still affects you regardless. And I like to bring people up to speed. Not everybody shoots as much as we do. Not everybody's into two-A, Second Amendment culture as much. But you have to think about this stuff. It will affect you in some way, in some form. So let me just use, there's two things coming up. I'll get into the Himani case, which was granted cert, meaning SCOTUS is going to review it. And that has to do with whether or not someone who has marijuana can also possess a firearm. And that is not, I want you to be careful with that because it's not really so much about marijuana. It is about restrictions, and it gets into Cantor v. Barr, and it gets into nonviolent offenders and things like that. So put that to the side for a moment. The other thing that's come up has been this issue with Glock. Now, I saw this for the past couple of days. We'll be talking more about this, but I wanted to wait and make sure that it was a real thing because at first I just saw it pop up on Reddit, and then I saw it a few other places, and they were waiting, I think, for more confirmation on it. So I don't think that they've even issued a formal press release on it yet, Glock. And I like Glock. I have Glocks. But the website has confirmed it. So they're discontinuing, Glock is discontinuing dozens of models. Now, Glock is an Austrian company. In fact, one of their main founders just passed away, Gaston Glock. And they've got a lot of lawsuits and legislation that are targeting them. Like Chicago's been going after them. California's been going after them. So how it happened is some of these Glock, the distributors of Glock firearms, began reporting on Monday, I think it was after we were off air when I first kind of saw some stuff about it, that they're going to stop shipping all the Gen 3, the Gen 5, and Gen 5 MOS models at the end of November. And they're going to roll out a new series, Series 5 V Series, December this year. And there was one guy, it was Glock Shop, Lenny McGill, who I saw later about this. I'm like, oh, this might be a real thing. They haven't, like I said, the company hasn't said officially, but on their website, they have a list of all kinds of stuff that's now being discontinued. I'm not going to read all of it, but it's a lot. And they said that they're going to, quote, focus on the products that will drive future innovation and growth. And they're making a strategic decision to reduce our current commercial portfolio. This streamlined approach, they write, allows us to concentrate on continuing to deliver the highest quality and most relevant solutions for the market. That's their quote. And then they have like their, you know, 5 series or V series that's up. And they said that you're still going to have access to the most popular Glock models that you know and love, but with a more focused selection is what they're saying. Now, why are they doing this? There's been this huge push by anti-gun groups, anti-Second Amendment groups, anti-Second Amendment advocates, the anti-gun lobby, the anti-Second Amendment lobby, to ban the sale of Glocks, period, Glock handguns, because they said, oh, the switches that people, you know, can use to convert these semi-automatics into full auto, which, by the way, has already been illegal forever. This is all already illegal. So your Glock changing their product is like suing Ford because a criminal can hotwire a car, can steal a Ford and by hotwiring it. What? Yes. So the company that has followed the laws, and by the way, from what I understand with Glock, they don't even get involved in any kind of 2A activism. They are very notoriously not involved in any of that at all whatsoever. They just don't mess with it. Maybe it's because they're Austrian. Maybe it's because they just are trying to stay out of that for business, whatever. So they're having to redesign their product because of what criminals do in violation of the law. That's how I view this. I think it's, you know, and they... Gavin Newsom, here's where it gets crazier. So in California, he just signed AB 1127, and that prohibits the sale of Glocks starting next year until they redesign the Gen 3 models. And the Gen 3 models are actually the only models that are legal to get right now in the state. Here's the problem with this. They already redesigned the pistols to prevent people from adding or inserting switches. But California never approved the redesign. That sounds like a problem, Kane, if you're Gavin Newsom.
Oh, yeah.
But they're going to make it Glock's problem. They already did the whole thing. In fact, let me pull this up. I saw this. CBS. CBS has a piece. When was this published? On the 13th of October. They were even forced to admit that they already submitted the redesign and that, I mean, here's literally, this is what it says. This is the paragraph on CBS, quote, newer models of Glocks do have an added piece that's intended to block the Glock switch, but the AG hasn't approved that model for sale here. They haven't approved the design. I mean, they even note it. California is just trying to do everything that they can to make it them illegal, period. I mean, and I shouldn't have to tell you that you can even bypass that, by the way. You can bypass the switch. You can bypass whatever anybody wants to do. I mean, for crying out loud, what anti-Second Amendment advocates don't understand is that these things are, firearms are ubiquitous. They've been with us for forever. It's like one of the things that is woven into our American DNA. You're punishing these companies because you refuse to actually make your legal system work the way it's supposed to. Because the people that are doing this are repeat offenders. These are the repeat offenders. I mean, this is so stupid. It's actually really dumb. And everybody's been talking about this, these, you know, the switches and all of this. There's going to be innovations that always that get around it. But the thing is that California and others are trying to make it as absolutely impossible for Glock as they can to be in tune with the law, for the lack of a better way to put it. And again, these have always been illegal. It's always been illegal to do this. Always. It is a good design. Glock has a great design. I like Glock. I have a lot of my friends that like Sig Sauer. Sigs are great. I have some. But I like Glock. And they're just, you know, some people don't like them because they're not pretty or they're just too basic or whatever, and they just kind of do one thing and that's all they do. And that's great. It works, right? If it's not broke, don't fix it. But still, no matter what design they do, anything is modifiable. That's the whole thing. they're not going to stop with that. They're going to keep going until it's completely banned. That's it, right? All because you have criminals that California, I mean, for crying out loud, California just doesn't even prosecute things. I had a story here that I don't have time to get to today, but I'm going to get to it later this week, where there are even now, like felonies have been basically reclassified, where you get a slap on the hand. They're not, you guys know this, they don't even prosecute people for retail theft anymore. I just think that this does not pass current legal precedent for what is common use. And if it's common use and commonly owned, that's one of the things that's been upheld in previous Supreme Court precedent, where you're not abridging the rights of someone by going after something that's in common circulation, common use, commonly owned, etc. It's that common use. I just can't see that passing that litmus test in a court of law. Now, the other thing that's come up that's related to 2A, and like I said, we're going to talk more about these cases in the days to come. I'll do it a little bit at a time because some people are like, oh my gosh, Dana. But it's important because you guys see how this is a formula that is being set up to go after everything, right? Okay. So the other thing that's coming up is this proposition to the Supreme Court. They agreed to consider, they granted cert to this case. They're considering the constitutionality of being in possession of a firearm if you have marijuana. Now, I will caution you, I want you to just get over the marijuana word because this is a formula. So this is United States versus Hamani, and it's a guy who's been charged with being an unlawful user because apparently he had a controlled substance, which was apparently marijuana, while he was in possession of a firearm. Now, the guy was the subject of a terror investigation, and there's more to this guy than we'll get to that later on. But back in August of 2022, they found that he had a Glock 19 and he had, like, I think, what, 2 ounces of marijuana. And they're bringing this case to court. He's a U.S. citizen. His parents are from Pakistan. And they're saying that the implication in the case is that he's dangerous for some terrorist associations. But that is not actually being raised in this issue that is being presented to the court in terms of the constitutional issue of can you have marijuana and then have a pistol. So this, I think, is going to get into the case previously that Amy Coney Barrett was involved in, and that's Cantor v. Barr, which looks at the variable of nonviolence as a, in terms of whether someone can be considered a prohibited possessor if they have marijuana and if they're a nonviolent person, if they're not posing a threat to the public. Because Barrett, her position in Cantor v. Barr when she was writing her opinion on this, is that if they are not a threat to the public, then why should they be rendered the penalty of being ineligible? Because that's one of the qualifying things for being a prohibited possessor, is that are you dangerous? Are you violent? Are you a threat to the public? The problem with this Hamani case is that there are these other variables that make it difficult for some people to weigh in on this. So this is something that we're going to be talking about in the days to come, because it's something you have to unpack bit by bit. It's a lot to throw at you guys all at once. But I want you to be aware of it because there are implications that will affect you at some point in your life because of what is being argued here and the precedents that could be set. And I kind of think that the Hamani case, it might be kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing a little bit in terms of watering things down and actually setting up the Supreme Court to actually rule against some constitutional protections as opposed to affirm them. So that's something that we're going to talk about. But these are cases that you need to pay attention to. And this is because they're, I mean, this could really shape things up in terms of 2A, because you have, you know, obviously Heller, you have the New York Rifle and Pistol, the Bruin case, which expanded the individual use outside of the home, really made that, you know, inarguable. I think that there's a lot of court cases that prove that, yes, it's individual use, it's not militia, et cetera, et cetera. But now we're getting into some of these other aspects in terms of aspects of ineligibility. So we'll be talking about that in the days to come.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock.
the spirit lives on.
Monday, warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
So the case that we were talking about before we went to break, that's U.S. United States versus Hamani, and that is, it was actually a terrorism investigation, and the government was looking to go there. This guy's based in Texas, and it's one of those situations where they have a charge that they can get him on here while they build a case, you know, for something else. But then this turns into a big Second Amendment case. This is the case that Hunter Biden had cited, his attorney specifically, that they had cited whenever he got a lot of flack before Biden left the White House for lying on his 4473 when he went and purchased a firearm, remember? Because he was on drugs. And he was on drugs by his own admission in his own biography, where the timeline completely overlapped, where he was talking about being high off his, out of his mind, and then he goes and buys a gun. I mean, the date on the form for his 4473 and then the timeline, because he's giving you dates and times and months and all the stuff in the book, it totally overlapped. So by his own admission, he was a drug addict when he falsified his when he lied on his form. So his attorneys were actually citing this case when they were going back and forth with the DOJ, when the DOJ was looking to prosecute him for this. And you know, I think it's insane that he just, you know, gets a wrist slap on it. But FBI, they had searched this guy's house and, you know, he had some marijuana. He had under 4 grams of cocaine, something to that effect. But they found a Glock in his possession. And he had asked the district court, and that was part of the case. Now it's like the center of it. He had asked the district court to dismiss this charge, and he cited he cited the Second Amendment. Now, he's a citizen. His parents are from Pakistan. He says that it violated his constitutional rights. And so that's what this is going back and forth over. And it's going to be this will be an interesting case, but the Supreme Court they granted cert for this. So they granted to review or to consider this case. And we're going to get into, instead of talking about this guy's background, because he's just the worst poster child for this. This guy is like the worst poster child for it. And now this is the case that everybody, now you can see how it's been made difficult. Well, like I said, we're going to talk more about this in the days to come. Today in Stupidity King.
All right. Do you think if someone were to say, boy, the media really is Trump friendly, you think that's true, that the media is in the bag for Trump?
Who would believe such
Nobody
a
Nobody in their sane mind would believe that. But maybe Chuck Schumer. Listen to this.
I would ask my colleague, one of the greatest blows to democracy when we don't have a fully free press, and has it been a hallmark of so many of the countries that he has mentioned that are autocracies or absolute dictatorships, to have no free press so no information can come out? And doesn't that dramatically hurt the American people when government is shielded and can do whatever it wants and hurt as many people as it wants because you don't have a free press?
What you mean, like the press that you guys persecuted? Boy, oh boy. Folks, that does it for us today. I'll be on Waters World tonight. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Listen as students and young adults interview well-respected CEOs on our national radio show, RealWorldLeaders.org, to learn secrets for success and how to use them to propel their careers.
This was super interesting, and especially to see that everything can lead to something else, like how cooking led you to be, you know, the founder, the president of a business, and even like your activities in high school, middle school, like led to this moment.
Adeline, what are you looking to do with the rest of your life? You have a sense of that?
No, not really, but I'm exploring a lot of interests right now, and I enjoy music and languages, so I think maybe something in that area.
Brett, somebody that's interested in languages and music, you think there's any hope for them?
Oh my gosh. I mean, in our world today, everybody speaks different languages, and they work with people that speak different languages, they have different cultures. That's great.
To hear more and to help us introduce your high school, GED, Work Ready, and college students to our CEOs, visit our website at realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org.